are Locked On Lions, your daily Detroit Lions podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody, it is Locked On Lions right here, Locked On Podcast Network. We talk Detroit Lions football with you each and every day here, Monday, August 3rd, into Tuesday, August 4th. Matt Derry with you. Thank you for listening and joining me today. Coming up on the program, Michael Rothstein from ESPN.com, the Lions beat writer, will join me. We'll talk about Matthew Stafford, some of the news of the weekend with the Lions. Of course, the big news being the Matthew Stafford testing positive for COVID. We'll get the latest on all of the Lions stuff coming up momentarily here on the program. You got to start with what took place this weekend. And everybody's been crying, and everybody's gotten emotional about it. And why not? When you meet a guy like and get to know a guy like Jamie Samuelson, you get emotional when you lose somebody like that. And if you, I'm sure everybody knows by now, Jamie, a fixture here in the Detroit media scene and Sports Radio 1130 for years, The Ticket, passed away Saturday night at the age of 48. Just a crime in itself, from colon cancer. And Jamie had been fighting this for 19 months. I didn't know until last week, a week from today, when he made that public. Obviously, the people very close to him, who I'm so sick for right now, his family, you know, Woj, Stoney, the people that are really, really, really close to him, Dan Miller, Jennifer, Evan, you know, they knew, but Gov, it's so horrible. And you know, I'm recording the show. This isn't live. This is true. This is how I feel. He was one of the good ones, man. And I'm just so sick about it. And I've been all over the place over the last 48 hours here, because I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I have a lot of emotions about it, because he was just such a good guy. And he's like a real friend, you know. He's the radio business and media, and I'm as guilty as anybody. I've deprecated myself many times on this podcast. I've done this show since the summer of 2016, and I like doing it, and it keeps me in it. I've said on the show before, and I was on Dan Leach's Task Force show on YouTube a while ago, and I said it. I don't miss being on the radio daily and dealing with a lot of those things and a lot of those issues. And I spend too much time, I think, sometimes downgrading that, when in reality, when it was the mid-90s and I moved here and I got a chance to get to know Jamie and we became close, I have a lot of regrets that I didn't keep that close relationship with him. And it's been going through my mind ever since I found out Saturday night when Jason Hillman called me. I miss him. And I could have done a better job of staying in touch with him over these past, I don't know, a couple of years. And I put that on myself. He's approachable. He's such a good guy. And I regret. I texted him Monday, and you know, I look back on my Facebook. I never do this, but I look back just to make sure that we had had some contact, and he had wished me a happy birthday last year. And I just, you know, I feel bad. His wife Christy's cool as hell, man, and his kids, and the people close to him. I'm feeling for Bob, big time. You know, him and Wojo had such a great relationship, and you know, you go back to like 96 and 97 when I first got to Detroit, and I ended up covering these Wings games and getting to the playoffs. And you know, Wojo, they stuck me in Wojo's hotel room and made me room with them. And Wojo didn't want me in there. You know, he's working for the Detroit News, and we were trying to save some money working at DFN. And they're like, hey, you're going to room with Wojo. What am I going to do? Of course I was going to do it. And Bob couldn't have been more gracious. But one thing was, you know, whenever we went to dinner or hung out on these trips, whether it was Anaheim or Philly or whatever it was, you know, Wojo didn't do anything without talking to Jamie and vice versa. They were just awesome friends. And you want to have friends like that. You want to have a relationship and a friendship like that. And, you know, these are good people. Everybody's going through this so tough. And I'm just thinking about all of them right now. I listened to almost the entire Jamie and Stoney show this morning. Obviously, Gov was on there. And, you know, he and I go way back. Stoney, Greg, and these guys. I worked with all of them. And it's I just feel for them. I feel for everybody. This is just horrible. It's just horrible. I called to try to get my colonoscopy today and get it scheduled, and they said, you got to be 50. I think I literally have to call a different doctor and tell them I've got it in my family in order to – I got on a list. They're going to call me in 2 years. But if you're 50 and older, or if you have family history of colon cancer or anything, get that colonoscopy, man, because – it took Jamie, and it's so unfair. He was one of the good ones, all right? There's plenty of bad ones. I was a bad one, okay? For a long time, some of the stunts I pulled, okay, when I was in radio, when I was immature. Jamie was always so even-keeled and so cool and a joy to be around, and my condolences and to everybody, to his family and friends. And God, this year just sucks. It just sucks. It's absolutely horrible. So I just wanted to put that out there today. And I found a picture. I was looking through some old pictures. I knew I had a lot. There's a bunch with him in there. And like I said, we worked together from 96 to 09. You know, or 07, I think, was when he left and ended up going over to Greater Media for a while, working at the Riff and stuff. But, man, I just found this picture from Jennifer Hammond's wedding from 1999 of me, Stoney, Jamie, and Greg Brady. It just, memories like that. You know, Shep called me Saturday night, and I haven't talked to Shep in ages either. Like, it just, through all the crap and the BS and everything, like, you reconnect with these people because there was a bond back in the day. And so I just wanted to bring that up. So, what am I? I'm supposed to do a read for DoorDash. And then we're going to talk to Michael Rothstein from ESPN and talk some Lions. All right, let's do it. DoorDash, by the way, my son works there, and he absolutely loves it, and it's been a great job for him. And look, people want food. You want Chinese food, you want pizza, you're craving frozen yogurt. There's something for everybody on DoorDash, all right? Continue supporting restaurants in your community as we go through this pandemic, right? Safely. So there's thousands of restaurants open for delivery on DoorDash that need your patronage now more than ever. Support your favorite restaurants on DoorDash. It's the app that brings you food you're craving right now, right to your door. It's easy, okay? Go open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory, all right? DoorDash deliveries are now contactless to keep communities we operate in safe. All right, here's what I want you to do. Our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more. All you got to do is download the DoorDash app, enter code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON. That's $5 off your and zero delivery fees off your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code LOCKEDON. All right, that's code LOCKEDON for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. Well, let's bring in Michael Rothstein, of course, covers the Lions for ESPN.com, his podcast as well, The Michael Rothstein Show, which you can find all over Twitter as well. What's up, Mike?
Oh, man, not too much. I've just got the Winnipeg Jets Calgary Flames game on in the background right now. And, you know, afternoon Stanley Cup hockey, man, can't beat it.
No, you can't. And give the league credit. You know, Monday afternoon, I know the Rangers were playing earlier. It's smart. Get more exposure for the game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is, you know, this reminds me of, I mean, this is going to sound bizarre, but we left off the sporting world in a week that usually has a lot of afternoon college basketball tournaments, in the NCAA tournament before that, conference tournaments, and now we're picking back up the sporting world in a world where the NHL is playing 12 hours a day, and that's awesome.
No, it is. It is for sure. All right, so the Lions are at training camp. It's not really training camp. It's a bunch of testing. The big story certainly is Matthew Stafford, two negative tests, and then reportedly a positive test. What do you know, and what can you tell us?
I don't know much more than anybody else. Matthew Stafford, as I think everybody knows at this point, super secretive. I've reached out to some of his people. They either not responded or chosen not to say anything. The Lions, of course, aren't saying anything because that's NFL and NFLPA policy, or how they're at least interpreting it. So I don't know much more than anyone else. I do know that, you know, it's going to be something to watch, and that there are different protocols out there. And we do know that the protocol for a false, or not a false positive, but being close to a, you know, close to somebody and not actually having a positive test is test positive twice in a row, or test, sorry, negative twice in a row, and you're good to go. And really, none of the Lions that have popped up on the list, Stafford included, have come off of it yet. And other than Stafford, it's been multiple days, so that tells you something. Now, again, I can't really read too much into that because there are multiple reasons to be on that list, but that to me tells me, you know, at least that's what's going on right now, and there are a bunch of guys that are actually probably in some sort of protocol. Now, we'll see if Stafford comes off the list today. If Albert Breer's report is correct, then I don't anticipate he will, and he is probably going in the same situation. But for Matthew Stafford, I think missing this week is not a big deal because it's just strength and conditioning. It's stuff he's probably going to be able to do at home or wherever he is anyway. So I don't think that's a huge deal. I think it's once you're starting to get into workouts and stuff like that, that's when you want your starting quarterback back.
Michael Rothstein with me from ESPN. Obviously, you know, the coronavirus and COVID, it's taken over sports. It's taken over football in the NFL to the point where there's no preseason. So when a guy like Stafford tests positive or reportedly tests positive, you know that you know, the spotlight will shine on Allen Park because he is the face of the franchise, right?
But yes, I think a light will be shined on Allen Park because of the eight players on the COVID reserve list right now. And the thing is it actually has nothing to do with the Lions, because these tests, positive tests, all came before they were even allowed in the building. So we don't know how good their protocols are, and they've walked us through their protocols at length. We don't know how good their safety is because all of these tests happen before they even get in. And I think to me, more than anything else, that's a wake-up call to the rest of the league of, listen, guys can be careful, and by all accounts, Matthew Stafford was being pretty darn careful, and other players, I think, were being pretty careful, and we just – you just don't know. And I mean, that's part of this with COVID with everybody, right? And I think you're seeing that in society, is that so many people could be asymptomatic and have the disease or carrying the disease, and you just don't know it. So I don't think this reflects poorly on the Lions, because I don't think it's a Marlins or a Cardinals situation, because these guys weren't even in the building. They were just coming back for initial testing. And I think we've seen across all sports that when initial testing has happened, there are positives that come up.
Tell me this, Michael. The Lions, like you said, they've walked us through everything. Rod Wood did a fantastic job with the video. The team has put this stuff out. Here's the dividers between the lockers. Here's the spacing in meeting rooms. Here's the situation in the cafeteria. Excuse me, in the cafeteria. Yet when they get on the field August 12th, August 17th with pads, they're going to be on top of each other. So it's so weird, isn't it?
It is. By the way, a little bit of breaking news out talking right now. The Lions actually have someone removed from the COVID reserve list. Tight end Isaac Nada has been activated from the COVID reserve list. So at least one Lions player is now back and able to work out again and be part of the roster. And for Isaac Nada, that's important because he's a guy who's competing for a roster spot right now. On to your question. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how this goes. I don't know how this happens. Bob Quinn, I thought, put it very well, and I agree with him, that they can feel really good about their setup and that they can feel really safe about their setup, but what makes them nervous are practices, games, and when guys go home at night. And that's the giant unknown. And I don't know the answer to that, and I don't think that anyone does. You have to trust your players that they're going to be cautious and careful. But listen, if a player has two kids that are going to school instead of being homeschooled, let's just say that happens, right? If the kid comes home with COVID, then, well, you can't do anything. You know, I
mean, right.
That's unavoidable. And then you look at it, and, you know, what if someone's wife works or has other responsibilities or is grocery shopping and it happens? I mean, like, we've seen these things. So I think the randomness of life is going to cause some problems, but I think that it's on players and on coaches and on personnel to be very diligent in what they're doing and how they're handling things.
What do you think of the decision to keep the roster at 90? Obviously, that means kind of a split squad, and the rookies sort of lose out in being out there with the veterans.
I like it because I think that if you're an undrafted free agent, if you're a veteran who signed with the Lions, I think it's good. You're happy about that because at least you're getting a shot. Think of how many of these guys across the league thought they were getting ready to get to camp, had been working out, and thought they were really going to get a chance. And then to find out, no, you're not, only because the league and the PA decided that it was an 80-man roster instead of a 90-man roster. So I think that the Lions are doing a good thing by the players that they signed by at least giving them a chance. And that, to me, is valuable, and I think that people will notice that, and I think agents will notice that, and it's good for the Lions too, because listen, at least if you cut 10 guys, you now at least have gotten a look at 10 guys that you might need to bring back at some point, because
yeah.
that all these things are I'm surprised more teams aren't taking the 90 man, or in their case, Lions case right now, 88 man or 87 man option, because it just gives you a free look at guys for 10 days, whether it's just strength and conditioning and kind of OTA workouts or not. You're getting a look at 10 more guys, and sure, maybe you don't want to bring guys into the facility, but you're split squatting it, so you're actually bringing fewer guys into the facility at once by doing that. So I don't understand why teams wouldn't go to 80 unless they maybe don't have the space in their facility, but I mean, I would imagine you can make it happen if you want it.
More with Michael Rothstein next. I'm Matt Derry and Mike Rothstein here from ESPN.com and also, of course, the Mike Rothstein Show, at Mike Rothstein on Twitter. All right, so John Atkins decides to opt out. The Lions make a move over the weekend and pick up Dalen Mack off of waivers from the Ravens. You know, talk about the move a little bit, Michael, and really the interior of that D-line, how you think it's going to look.
I think there's some questions here. You know, that's the whole defensive line to me has been something to be concerned about from the jump, from the start of free agency. And I look across the line, like you talked about moves this weekend. Yeah, John Atkins opted out last week. They signed Dalen Mack they claimed him off of waivers from Baltimore. But Dalen Mack played in one game last year. I don't think we really know much about him. And it's not like he's coming in to be a starter. They signed Danny Shelton and Nick Williams, and they have Deshaun Hand, in theory, to be like starters in that third defensive tackle potentially. So I don't know. I mean, I don't think he's a lock to make the roster by any stretch of the imagination. I think he kind of gets thrown in with John Penasini and with Jayshon Cornell and with Kevin Strong, and kind of, you know, you keep two or three of those guys. I don't think that's the strength of their roster. I think it's incredibly thin there. And also I'm not in love with the talent level. comparative to other positions. But hey, there are some defensive tackles and defensive ends still out there. And when you look at defensive end right now, if you're the Lions, you might really look at bringing one of those guys in, because two of your four defensive ends, depending how you classify Sean Hand, are not going to be able to practice for now because they are on actual injury lists. Romeo Okwara on NFI and Austin Bryant on PUP. Like, that's probably your number two and number three defensive ends behind Trey Flowers right now. What, I mean, Jonathan Wynn, as of today, would be your number two defensive end with the Lions.
Oh, geez.
Like, right. I mean, now listen, let's be honest, it'll probably be Deshaun Hand. But, you know, Hand's more of an inside-outside guy. So, fine, so Jonathan Wynn's your number three if you had to play a game today. Like, that, I'm sorry, that's not, I would be very concerned if I were Troy, especially, again, in COVID times, that I would need more there. And, listen, they have the cap space to go after. I don't necessarily think they would go after Jadeveon Clowney, but Everson Griffin, Jabal Sheard, those could be guys that, you know, maybe you look at. Because why not at this point? Like, you need guys. You need to bring someone in. They're both talented players. Sheard has obviously experience playing in the Patriots type system with Patricia. He's been a guy that's been rumored to, you know, for years as a possible guy that makes sense to come to Detroit. So maybe that happens now. And then obviously we all know the talent that is Griffin. But until they know how they can bring guys in for visits, and workouts, because you want to see what shape these guys are in. I don't know how a team does that and brings in a guy that you probably have to give some money to and can't sign for a vet man.
You know, so many games last year, Michael and you were at all of them, they'd line up three D linemen, occasionally two inside guys with Flowers. And now you look at Jamie Collins, you look at Julian Okwara. You know, how much of those guys are going to be coming off the edge more than maybe we think they're going to?
You know, I think Julian Okwara will be, for sure. I think Jamie Collins might be, but I see them both in and maybe Jared Davis even. I see them all in that kind of Devon Kennard spot. And you kind of rush from there. Maybe not Julian Okwara. Julian Okwara, in theory, can play with his hand down, for sure. And maybe he does that, and maybe that's the plan for him. But, yeah, I can't see Jamie Collins doing that. I can't see Jared Davis doing that. You know, Austin Bryant's kind of in that similar category. So I think it's going to be really interesting. Their pass rush, to me, remains their biggest question, and likely will remain their biggest question throughout training camp. By the way, one other name that's out there, and I can't imagine that it would happen, but Ziggy Ansah is a free agent.
Oh, here we go. Bring back Ziggy and Snacks. Let's have a reunion.
I don't think Damon Harris is coming back.
No.
In all seriousness, if you can bring Ziggy Ansah back on the cheap, knowing that, hey, you might only get five games out of him because that's just kind of, unfortunately, how his career's gone. You know, when he is back and he is healthy, you know he's pretty darn good. I would inquire because you're not going to pay him like Trey Flowers.
Well, or, no.
You know you're going to pay him.
Well, he thought he was getting Trey Flowers money a couple of years ago.
Well, and you know what? Had he stayed healthy in 2018,
maybe
likely would have.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, that was always the problem when it came to Ziggy. It was never the talent. It was always he stay on the field, and he just was not able to stay on the field, and he was never able to stay healthy. And it's unfortunate too, I mean, because the guy can't, like, you can see it and you know how hard he worked, and you saw it like in his face, right? Like, I remember when he got hurt in Arizona and was being carried off, you saw the emotion because he knew, you know, you could sense that he knew that this was really, you know, probably end in Detroit and who knows what for his future. Yeah, man. Like, I mean, if I'm the Lions and he were willing to come back on, like, you know, like less than Mike Daniels took last year, I would kick it around. Why not? At this point, what do you have to lose?
Yeah, not much.
That cap, you know, if you're signing a 1-year deal, that cap number, it's not like that. that's changing from one year to the next, you're going to get that money back, right? Like, take a shot, especially if you don't bring in Clowney or Griffin. I mean, Ansah, from a talent perspective, is probably the third best defensive end edge rusher on the market right now.
Michael, great to hear your voice, my friend. Glad you're doing well, and always a pleasure.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me.
There he is, Michael Rothstein, ESPN, and of course, the Michael Rothstein Show. Good podcast. Check it out on his Twitter, at Mike Rothstein. That'll do it for the Monday edition of Locked On Lions right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.